Chapter 8. Georgette's Story. Harold went to the radio room to notify the survivors' families that their loved ones were safe. Captain Rostron also asked him to contact the authorities. Aunt Elizabeth and I went to a religious service for the victims at midday. After the service, I needed some fresh air and exercise. I also wanted to see Georgette again. She was with a small group of teenagers from the Titanic. I went to join her and she introduced me to them. Jack Thayer, 17, Lucille Carter, 14, and her brother William, 11. They were all quiet and obviously still suffering from the nightmare they had experienced. I felt uncomfortable and didn't really know what to say to them. I must go and find my aunt now, I told them, and left the deck. On my way down to the cabin, I met Harold. He was taking a break, and he looked very happy to see me. I walked into his arms, and he held me tightly. I felt so much better with him. Suddenly, we jumped at the sound of a familiar voice. Charlotte, what are you doing? It was Aunt Elizabeth. I stepped out of Harold's arms and saw my aunt. Her face was furious. Go to the cabin, she said, pointing towards the door leading to the second-class cabins, and stay there until we arrive in New York. With tears in my eyes, I ran to the cabin, embarrassed and angry. I wasn't a child, and I was tired of Aunt Elizabeth treating me like one. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door. Harold, I thought, jumping off the bed. But it wasn't Harold, it was Georgette. You don't have to stay in your cabin anymore, she said, smiling. My mother asked your aunt if you could keep me company. It's her way of thanking you for being so kind to us. She managed to convince your aunt. Georgette and I walked to the first class library. I noticed that first class and second class passengers were sitting together in groups. We sat down at one of the tables. Georgette, are you able to talk about what happened on the Titanic? I asked her. Or is it too difficult for you? No, I think I need to talk about it, was Georgette's reply. She took a deep breath and then began her story. It was a quiet evening and I went to my cabin early. My mother was asleep, but my cousin, Elizabeth Allen, and I were talking. At about 11 p.m, I felt a small bump and the engine stopped. I looked out of the porthole, but I couldn't see anything. A few minutes later, our servant came and told us that there was water on the floor of her cabin. I opened our cabin door and saw Captain Smith. He told us to dress warmly and to go on deck. I thought it was just a safety exercise, but my cousin told me to take a warm coat and all my jewellery. I woke my mother and we all went on deck. It was very cold out there. A member of the crew explained to everybody that we had hit an iceberg and it had damaged the ship. We didn't really understand how terrible that was at the time, until we saw that the crew were preparing the lifeboats. Captain Smith asked the orchestra to come and play for us. I suppose to keep everybody calm, although this was a strange suggestion. One of the lifeboats was ready, but we didn't want to go on it because it was small. We wanted to stay on the Titanic. We didn't really think the Titanic was sinking, you see. But then, we saw more and more people getting into lifeboats, and we started to realise we had no option. So my mother, my cousin, our servant and I climbed into a boat. Then the crew dropped us into the water. I was scared. There were 4 crew members and Officer Boxhall with us. If the Titanic sank, she would take us down with her, so we rowed away from the ship. I saw lots of ice floating in the water, but I couldn't see any icebergs. The front of the Titanic was sinking into the water. There were lots of lights on the deck, and I saw women kissing their husbands goodbye and climbing into boats with their children and babies. Suddenly, the front of the Titanic sank more and the back rose in the air. Everybody began to panic. I saw a man jump into a lifeboat with a gun in his hand I heard him say that if someone tried to stop him, he would shoot. People were hanging onto the railings and screaming. The back of the ship was now vertical in the air, and many people started to jump into the sea. Then, the ship broke into two pieces and both of them sank. We just couldn't believe it. There were no lights and it was difficult to see what was happening. We rowed towards the screaming people, but we couldn't find anyone. A little later, the screaming stopped and it became very cold. That was the worst thing, the silence. Around an hour and a half later, we saw the Carpathia and we were safe. I reached across the table and held Georgette's hand. I didn't know what to say.